Emily Wilde, newly tenured at Cambridge's Department of Dryadology, finds herself caught between two worlds, the academic realm she's mastered and the fairy kingdom that increasingly claims her heart. When her colleague and love interest, Wendell Bumblebee, who happens to be an exiled fairy king, proposes marriage, Emily responds with characteristic scholarly caution. She insists on seeing his kingdom before committing to a life straddling two worlds. This academic thoroughness in matters of the heart perfectly encapsulates Emily's nature, meticulous, analytical, and unwilling to leap without looking, even when it comes to love. But when Wendell is poisoned by assassins from his former kingdom, Emily's carefully constructed walls between scholarship and emotion begin to crumble. Her quest to save him will challenge everything she thought she knew about fairies, academia, and herself. Emily and Wendell's relationship thrives on complementary differences. Her methodical, human approach balances his capricious fairy nature, with her research skills proving as valuable as his magic. Their academic rivalry for recognition in dryadology adds tension to their budding romance. "I need to see your kingdom before I can answer," Emily tells Wendell after his proposal, documenting her emotional deliberations with scientific precision. This scholarly approach to love reveals both her strength and vulnerability. Her analytical nature protects her heart while keeping genuine connection at bay. When poisoning leaves Wendell vulnerable, we glimpse beyond his charming facade to his complexity. The exiled king must rely on human medicine and Emily's determination as his magic sails him. Through his weakness, Emily discovers her strength, channeling her academic persistence into finding a cure. Their relationship evolves from rivalry to a profound partnership, bridging worlds. Emily's groundbreaking discovery that fairy doors might connect multiple locations rather than just two points revolutionizes dryology. This concept of a nexus challenges centuries of established magical theory about fairy pathways. The academic quest to map these connections drives the narrative while serving as a metaphor for Emily's journey between worlds. The search leads to the alpine village of St. Liesel, where disappeared scholar Danielle de Grey had conducted revolutionary research. De Grey's field notes, found in a hidden desk compartment, suggest a pattern in fairy door formations contradicting conventional wisdom. Even facing supernatural threats, Emily maintains her commitment to documentation, her journal entries evolving from detached observations to personal reflections. Emily's realization that the bone-key necklace from Poe is actually a folded door itself combines scholarly breakthrough with personal significance. Her academic rivalry with Dr. Ferris Rose, who initially dismisses her fanciful theories, highlights the tension between traditional academic approaches and direct magical experience. When Rose witnesses supernatural events firsthand, his struggle to reconcile academic skepticism with undeniable evidence mirrors broader conflicts about the nature of knowledge itself. The novel's settings breathe with life, particularly the liminal spaces where the mortal world meets fairy. St. Liesel exemplifies this borderland, an ordinary alpine village where residents leave food offerings for the folk and tie salt-soaked ribbons to avoid fairy doors hidden in mountain mist. This coexistence of mundane and magical creates tension throughout. Imagine walking through fog so thick you can't see your hand, and within that fog lie paths to other worlds. These borderlands manifest in mountain paths where Emily encounters Professor Eichhorn's ghost and glimpses Danielle de Grey. When Emily follows de Grey, only to find familiar paths suddenly replaced by treacherous cliffs, we experience the disorientation of crossing between worlds. The most compelling borderland is the Winter Fairy's hovel, with its six-knobbed door leading to various realms, a physical manifestation of intersecting worlds. The blackened human fingers arranged as figurines on the mantle remind us that beauty and terror coexist in fairy realms. Through these spaces, we explore themes of belonging and displacement as characters exist between worlds, never fully at home in either. Beneath the adventure lies a sophisticated exploration of power dynamics within fairy realms. Wendell's stepmother, who usurped his throne and controls four Irish realms, embodies power's corrupting influence, making her the most powerful fairy monarch in the British Isles. The novel distinguishes between high folk, like Wendell, and common folk, like Poe and Snowbell. Wendell initially dismisses common fae, despite their help, while Emily recognizes their value and challenges his assumptions. The revelation that common folk know more about doors between realms than high ones, whose privilege blinds them to such knowledge, introduces a thoughtful class critique. This political dimension extends to human-fairy relations. Villagers maintain an uneasy coexistence through offerings and strict rules. Their matter-of-fact acceptance of occasional human deaths, Peter mentions patrons being torn apart by the folk while still calling them lovely neighbors, highlights the power imbalance between mortals and immortals. Emily's academic approach initially treats fairies as study subjects, but her perspective evolves as she witnesses Wendell's vulnerability and connects with other folk. Knowledge in this world carries steep costs. The disappeared scholars represent the ultimate price, becoming trapped between worlds, neither fully in the mortal realm nor in fairy. Their fate warns about the dangers of academic obsession when studying the supernatural. Emily faces physical and psychological dangers in her research. Venturing into Wendell's realm to find his cat, Orga, she risks her life and sanity, noting her memory grows patchy and threadbare. This cognitive dissonance reveals the challenge of studying the otherworldly through human frameworks. When Emily poisons Wendell's stepmother, she transforms from observer to participant in fairy politics. Her justification, protecting others from the queen's cruelty, highlights the ethical complexities when academic detachment yields to personal involvement. Even discovering the true nature of Wendell's illness brings terror rather than comfort. The novel challenges the academic ideal of objective study. Emily's journey suggests true understanding requires personal investment and acceptance of consequences. Knowledge transforms both the world and the knower. Emily emerges fundamentally changed. At its heart, this story celebrates connection between realms, species, and individuals. Emily transforms from isolated academic to someone deeply connected to others. Wendell, her niece Ariadne, her dog Shadow, and even former antagonists like Dr. Rose. This evolution from solitary scholar to connected individual mirrors the broader themes of interconnectedness throughout the narrative. These connections prove crucial to the novel's resolution. Emily cannot save Wendell alone. She needs help from an unlikely alliance, including Poe's strategic mind, Snowbell's wisdom, and Orga's power. The final plan relies not on individual heroism, but on coalition building across different folk, representing a shift from studying subjects from a distance to engaging with them as partners. By the conclusion, Emily's map of the Otherlands represents not just physical connections between realms, but a network of relationships transcending boundaries. Her sabbatical from Cambridge to help Wendell reclaim his throne shows choosing connection over isolated scholarship, engagement over observation, and love over academic advancement. In mapping paths between worlds, Emily has found her way to the most unmappable territory, the heart.